Hello and welcome to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. I'm your aptly named host. Oh, I'm glad you're with me. I'd bear the pain of sphincteralgia if you kicked my butt with the idea that you missed today's show. Tips from Maria 2. Maria Semple is our prospect research contributor, the prospect finder, and she has a new book, Magnify Your Business. She shares her wisdom again for your nonprofit, continuing our conversation from December 18th. On Tony's Take 2, thank you. We're sponsored by Pursuant, full-service fundraising, data-driven and technology-enabled. You'll raise more money. Pursuant.com. So glad Maria Semple in the studio again. She's the prospect finder. She's a trainer and speaker on prospect research. Her website is theprospectfinder.com, and her new book is Magnify Your Business: Tips, Tools, and Strategies for Growing Your Business or Your Nonprofit. She's our doyen of dirt cheap and free. You'll find her on Twitter at Maria Semple. Maria, so glad you're in the studio again.
I'm so glad to be here again. Thank
pleasure.
You.
Oh, my pleasure. We're continuing our conversation from that December 18 show about your book. We wrapped up that last conversation with in-person networking conversation. So let's go back online now and talk some about email. Email, not dead, right?
Email is not dead. Not dead, absolutely. It actually has a higher ROI, return on investment, than social media does. It's the highest ROI. And part of the reason for that, Tony, is that social media, as wonderful as it is, and I love social media, it requires the user, right, to actually be sitting in front of their computer or in front of their, it requires for them to, or even their mobile phone, to go to those social sites, right, to get your interesting information. So,
yeah.
So even about your show, right? So you get information out about your show through email and through Facebook and social. So,
Twitter, yep.
Right. But if I'm not in front of, if I haven't checked into Facebook or Twitter, and that was the only way I was relying on getting news about your show, then I might miss some important information.
Right. You don't have the app open. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, but email, we're all checking email throughout the day. And you know, as much email as we all get, it's still the best way, because now you're pushing your information directly into somebody's inbox. They may or may not read it, but at least you're still showing up there consistently, and people are not going to opt out. You know, even if they're not going to be around for a week and not be able to hear your show or something, they may not open the email to get the details about the show. But nevertheless, that doesn't mean they're going to opt out, because they still want to get info about the show.
Yeah.
Well, it's the same thing about for nonprofits, right? So you want to have that ability to stay engaged with people. And it's a great way to tell your stories and to become a better storyteller. And I know you've had a number of guests on that talk about storytelling and the importance. And that is just such a fantastic way throughout the year to stay engaged with people. So many times donors say, you know, the only time I ever hear from that organization is when they're asking for money, you know? Well, why not take those stories and start giving them a story a month about what has happened or a success in the organization? Mm. People will, you know, well, they want to continue funding something that's successful. People want to see you stay successful. Nobody wants to fund a sinking ship, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So great way to use to use email to do that.
Okay. And people are, as long as you're respecting what they've given you permission to send, another reason they're not going to opt out is because they did give you that email. And we talked in December about having a box where people, making it very accessible for people to give you their email address. Once they've given it to you, as long as you're respecting their permissions,
right,
that they gave you,
right,
the likelihood of them opting out is very, very small.
Right. I think if you're not overly communicating to people,
yeah.
One thing sometimes I see nonprofits do, unfortunately, is they want to cram all this information in because they have so much to say. And so the email ends up becoming super, super long. So does anybody really read a very long email?
Not those dense
Probably
ones.
Not. No. Right. So you have to be able to take, and maybe you need to send out two a month, you know, one more focused on events that have been happening, another one focused on a success story, you know, so you have to think about that communication strategy. You know, be really clear about it. But yeah, it's about permission-based marketing. This is about people who have explicitly opted into your list because they've given you their email address in some way, shape, or form. Or maybe they've attended an event that you've done or a volunteer mm-hmm. training or something like that. So because you've had that, we'll call it business exchange, you are able to then add their name to your database.
Oh, now you think it's okay to do without explicitly asking?
If they're attending, yeah. So if they're attending an event,
one of your events.
Yeah.
If you're right. Yeah.
So if you have a bunch of people attending one of your nonprofit events, mm-hmm. Then certainly, you know, they can be put into the database.
Okay. Okay. I have a friend. This is a guy I know personally. He does two things. He imports olive oil from Italy, and he also is a singer. And I opted into his olive oil list because I had bought olive oil for myself and for friends and my family around Christmas time. And then he got to the point where he was in some music competition, you know, online competition, vote for the winner, you know, get the most number of votes, and he was going to get, I forget what the prize was. But he got carried away with using the olive oil list to promote the vote online.
Mm.
And it was coming down to every 4 hours, I think.
Oh, wow.
Because you could vote that often.
Wow.
And so he had these auto emails coming to the olive oil list for the songs,
yeah.
for the music competition. And people told me that they opted out of his, they unsubscribed themselves. And those,
right.
Some of them were clients.
Right.
Two of them were clients who I had given the olive oil to as a gift around the holidays. And they signed up for his list because they had his olive oil. And they unsubscribed when he crossed over from olive oil to music.
Right.
They didn't give him permission
right.
to email about music.
Now, it's perfectly fine for him to have one email service provider company, but segment those lists.
Yeah, you segment, of course.
So just segment them. That's it. I mean, and that's the beauty of using a service that allows you to do that level of segmentation, you know? And then, you know, even when the person went to hit the opt out, if he had it perhaps at least then given the option to say, you know, why are you leaving us? Would you like to receive less email? Click here for the lists you're interested in staying connected to. Then your friends might have just stayed and said, I only want the olive
right.
oil.
But he didn't have that sophistication. He didn't have the separate lists.
Right.
Yeah. No, he was aggregating, and that was a mistake. And those are just the people who told me. So.
Right.
Yeah. You got to adhere to the, like you said. There are
rules. It's a canned spam act.
The permission that people gave me. Yeah.
There's a law.
Well, yeah. We weren't even talking about the law yet. Let's go there right now. But we were just talking about what individual people give you permission to send them email about. I'll tell you what.
Right.
Let's go out a little early for our break. When we come back, we'll talk about the laws, canned spam, etc., around emails. Stay with us.
You're tuned to Nonprofit Radio. Tony Martinetti also hosts a podcast for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Fundraising Fundamentals is a quick 10-minute burst of fundraising insights published once a month. Tony's guests are expert in crowdfunding, mobile giving, event fundraising, direct mail, and donor cultivation. Really, all the fundraising issues that make you wonder, am I doing this right? Is there a better way? There is. Find the Fundraising Fundamentals archive at TonyMartinetti.com. That's MARTIGNETTI. Remember, there's a G before the N. Thousands of listeners have subscribed on iTunes. You can also learn more at the Chronicle website, philanthropy.com. Fundraising Fundamentals, the better way.
Welcome back to Big Nonprofit Ideas for the Other 95%. Maria, let's move to the legal side. What is Canned Spam Act? What do we need to know about?
Yeah, so, I mean, Google it. You get all the information you want.
Yeah.
But I'll give you some of the basic highlights of what you have to have in place to be known as a permission-based email marketer. One of the things is you have to have that one-click opt-out opportunity. That safe unsubscribe button has to be clearly accessible to people. It's usually at the bottom of every email.
Yeah.
Also at the bottom of every email, you have to have your physical address, where the company is based. So that has to accompany all of your email marketing. You have to have a clear, concise subject line, not be a misleading subject line. There's certain things that'll kind of get you routed to a spam box if you put them in the subject line. There's a lot of conversation now around the word free. Free always used to get you into a spam box, but I've talked to some people who've been doing email marketing that say they are using the word free, like, you know, come to my free seminar or whatever, and they are putting it in there, and it is getting to inboxes. So I don't know, maybe
more sophisticated.
Something's happening.
Okay,
but basically, look at your own spam boxes and whatever words you're seeing being used in those subject lines. Just stay away from using all of those. And there's lots of articles that you can find online as well about, you know, how to structure a subject line and so forth. So can't be misleading. So there are a couple of other things. And actually, for any of our listeners who are in Canada or marketing to people in Canada, their laws are even more strict than the laws in the United States. So you want to stay compliant with what is called CASL, C-A-S-L. I think it's called Canadian Anti-Spam Legislation. Are even more strict than the U.S. laws are. So especially if we have any listeners who are, you know, bordering the Canadian, and you might have some donors or people that are, you know, you're communicating to, make sure that you are staying compliant with CASL.
Okay. Now we can give a shout out to Constant Contact. You do work with them, right? You're a certified guru, you know, grand high exalted mystic ruler with that's a Honeymooners reference, with Constant Contact.
Yeah, I'm one of their authorized local experts, so I do go around and do a lot of talks around email marketing, best practices, you know, things to do, not to do to get yourself in trouble. I really enjoy that. I enjoy my affiliation with them very much. And I'm also one of their master certified solution providers, so I help my clients actually implement those strategies.
There you go. That's what I saw. It made me think of Grand High Exalted Mystic Ruler.
Yeah.
Master Service Strategy.
Certified.
Certified. Pardon me. I didn't mean to downgrade you to strategic, whatever I said. Okay. I don't even listen to myself. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't pay attention. I don't know why others do. Okay. So since you're MSSP, MCSP, QRS, you got any advice around a subject line testing? You know, how do we get the best subject lines?
So you want to think about keeping your subject lines pretty short, about 5 to 8 words. A lot of people, it's hovering around the 60% mark right now if people are opening their emails or looking at emails on mobile devices. So it's super important to test your email. Make sure you preview, send it to yourself, look at it on the computer, look at it on your mobile device. Have a colleague who has a different mobile device take a look at it as well. So about 5 to 8 words is good. The most important words should be up front. So if the meat of what you're trying to say is like, you know, the eighth word out, are really there. We call it the 2-2-2 rule, right? You have 2 seconds to get somebody's attention. The first 2 words matter most, and you have to be able to demonstrate to them why it's important today that they open that email.
Okay. Yeah, I see valuable, I'll call it real estate, in that subject line wasted sometimes I didn't know the two, you know, first 2 words are most important, but they'll waste it something like announcing my, or here is my, you know, no kidding. I mean, you know, it's cut that out, you know, just use those if it's free, you know, free seminar next week.
Right.
Don't say announcing my seminar next week, which is free.
Right. And then there's an area underneath the subject line known as pre-header text, which typically only shows up on mobile devices. So that's pretty cool. That's some extra real estate.
Yeah,
there.
The pre-header. Yeah, you see that. And some people don't use that. You'll see it'll say just something perfunctory like to view this to view this online in better format or something, whatever it says.
Click here,
But how do you get to that pre-formatted, how do you get to that pre-text?
In email service providers like Constant Contact, it's actually in the header options. It's underneath the subject line. You can actually put another line. Think of it as a subject line 2.0.
Yeah, right. Okay, so it's going to depend on what provider you're using.
Right.
But you want to look for that real estate.
You want to look for that real estate in your header options so that you can actually put it in there. And as I said, it's mostly just viewable on mobile devices.
Right.
But it is going to give you that opportunity, because in a mobile device, you're going to see the from line, so who it's from. The next line is the subject line. And the third line is valuable real estate now too. So you want to think, you know, how do we want to appear in an inbox? Because people are, their inboxes are so incredibly crowded, and you're competing against everybody else trying to get their attention, especially, you know, around, you know, holiday time or Giving Tuesday time. So, you know, think now, you know, this is January. Think now to when you're going to be running your Giving Tuesday campaign in November. Start thinking about interesting subject lines that you're going to use leading up to Giving Tuesday. How can you tweak that subject line? How can you tweak that pre-header text to build some excitement leading up to Giving Tuesday? You've got plenty of time. No excuses.
That's true. Yes. 11 months. Okay. No, cool. All right. That's, yeah. Subject line. Very interesting to me. I think this is sort of subsumed in what we're just saying, but, you know, why Outlook is not the best to just be sending mass emails from. You don't get all these features we're talking about.
You don't
get
all the features. First and foremost, you're not staying compliant with the canned spam law, right? So when you're sending
out, you don't have the footer, the unsubscribe,
none of that is there. And then what you're doing is, if you're sending it out through your Outlook account, typically you're only sending it out in what, batches of 50 or maybe 100.
Right, because your ISP is not going to allow bigger batches.
Right, exactly. But what's happening is, even if, let's say I send an email out and I'm sending it in batches of 50, I might send it to myself, you know, to maria@theprospectfinder.com, and put everybody else as blind copy, right? So you think, okay, I'm good because I'm not showing everybody's email address, and so that everything's cool.
Yeah.
But it's not, because the computers receiving those emails can detect that there are 50 other blind copies attached to this, and the computers receiving them, right, the ISPs receiving them, say, oh, wait a minute, hold on a minute, this looks like it could be spam. I'm not going to put this email in your inbox, Tony. I'm going to take this email and I'm going to put it in your spam folder.
Oh, because they can see it's detected, sees the BCC, all the BCCs.
Yes.
So you could be hurting yourself.
So you're thinking your emails are getting through to somebody's inbox, and there's a pretty good chance that that's been routed to somebody's spam folder. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I never check it.
Yeah, rarely. And I'm scanning it. You know, there's hundreds there. I'm probably looking at the first dozen or something. I remember the dark days of nonprofit radio 5.5 years ago. When I was doing the email blasts, and even before that, when I was doing email newsletters, and I would send them out in batches of sometimes 100 or 98 worked, but then Yahoo was the back end, and then they would change their algorithm, so 98 wouldn't work. I'd have to go to like 47 or something, 49. And I'd be doing that like 20 times to get the 1,000 emails.
Right. And how long did that take you?
Oh my God, it was ridiculous. Yeah, it would take an hour.
But then you also had no idea who received it. You don't get
the
back end statistics.
Analytics.
No, the analytics are gone. You don't know who received it, who opened it, who clicked, where was their interest, right? What were they interested in reading about?
Open rates, none of that.
Who clicked to your website?
Yep.
That's super important.
You had none of that. I'm much more sophisticated. Well, let's not get carried away. I've gotten better. We'll put it that way. But I use MailChimp for the weekly email alerts for the show.
Right. So, I mean, you have to use something. You have to use some sort of a system that's going to give you those back end analytics and keep you compliant with all the laws. I mean, you and I, we don't want to be known as spammers. I'm sure all your listeners in the nonprofit arena, they don't want to be known as a spammer.
Yeah. No, of course. Right. Let's, you have some tips about, like, finding the best email service provider? Can we talk a little about that?
Well, I mean, so it, depending on what you're what you can afford to do and not do, it really will depend. So for some organizations who don't have a high level of sophistication in how to use email marketing, it's super important that they have somebody to call, right? So MailChimp, for example, my understanding is that there's an email is the way
that you would go about customer service.
Yeah,
I have a guy who takes care of it for me. But
right. So,
and I think they have live chat, too.
Right, okay, so live chat.
Yeah.
Whereas with Constant Contact, there's an 800 number to call, so you get a live person.
Oh, so now
you're
bragging about that.
But for some people,
it's the chimp. It's the chimp. Don't beat up on the chimp.
But for some people, it's important. It's important.
To have the phone service.
Depending on how sophisticated, how much experience you have with using these. So customer support, whatever that is. So just explore customer support options because that might be important to you. So understanding, you know, are you paying by the number of emails that you park in the system, or are you paying by the number of emails you're sending on a monthly basis? So there are fees based on, you know, how often you're using the system in some cases.
Okay.
You want to make sure you have all those back end analytics. And the other thing that you want to make sure that you can do is take your emails and integrate them with your social media.
Yeah, good. Let's go there. Okay.
So super important that you be able to do that. So so as an example, when I send out my newsletter, on my monthly newsletter, or where I'm going to be speaking or whatever, simultaneously when I set up and schedule for that email to go out at, let's say, 10 a.m. tomorrow, it will simultaneously post it to my Twitter, my Facebook, and my LinkedIn accounts, so that
what,
I don't
what does
have
it
to
post?
Take
what does it post?
That act a link to that newsletter.
Oh, okay.
So now people who are not even subscribed to that database, to my email newsletter, are going to be seeing it because they might be following me on one of those other social media channels. So they'll still get access to the newsletter, you know, with all of the branding and
oh,
all that.
So your newsletter is sitting somewhere on your site.
So the newsletter, every newsletter that you send out is an actual URL. I'm not sure if you know
yeah,
that.
Yeah, no, I do, because I do the editing for it.
So, so it's a URL. So it's basically, it's that URL is what's getting shared amongst all of those social sites. So you want to be able to do that, and it's a huge time saver to be able to simultaneously set up that send to have it all done. Send, post, done, you know, it's just it gets out there for you.
And are you able to format what is posted on the social sites simultaneously?
Yes.
It's not just a canned
correct.
Here's Maria's latest newsletter.
Right. So you would your voice in Twitter might be a little different than your voice in the other social networks. Also the photo that you decide to attach with that post. Because photos, we know, get a higher engagement on social media. So you do want to select some sort of a photo that captures the essence of that post. So you draw that right out of your, in my case, I draw it right out of my Constant Contact photo library. And I post it at the same time.
Okay. Excellent. Email is good. So it's important. So anything else you want to say about email before we pursue something else?
No, I think that, you know, just as long as people are doing it, and my key message around it is it's not dead, because it's still the highest ROI for your money.
And it's right in the inbox. So
it's
simple.
Right in the inbox.
Yeah. Okay, cool. All right. Now, you have a chapter that is devoted to what your primary work is, prospecting, expanding your networks. And you're our doyen of dirt, cheap, and free. You even if we've talked about some of these in the past, it hasn't been recent. So let's share some local resources.
Right. So you know what a fan I am of local libraries.
Libraries, yes.
Local
big public
libraries.
Library fan.
And so I definitely want to bring that to everybody's attention again. One of my favorite databases in a local library is Reference USA. So if you're looking to prospect for lists of specific industries, also they have a database around a homeowners database. So if you're looking for new homeowners or people who live in houses valued above $500,000, you know, whatever it is. So I would really recommend that you go to your local library, talk to a reference librarian about Reference USA specifically and how you can use it. I mean, I use it off-site. I use it by using my library card, the barcode on the card.
Yes, this is something we've talked about, but not recently. It's been a while. It's been a year, a couple of years. Having that library card.
Yeah, I don't even step foot into the library to use the databases. It's fantastic, you know. And then even when there's there might be something that I'm having trouble researching and I can't seem to find the answer to it, a lot of libraries will have available free chat with a reference librarian.
Really?
Yeah. I know you can do that with the New York Public Library system, for example. In New Jersey, we used to have it 24/7 until there were tons of budget cuts, and then that went away 24/7. But local libraries have tried to maintain it, you know, during working hours as best they can.
And this is New Jersey. So you can imagine what the rest of the country is doing, how much more sophisticated it is. I grew up in New Jersey. That's why I'm comfortable saying that. I don't live there now, but I grew up in Old Tappan, New Jersey. I'm bona fide. No. Okay. Good. Very good to know. Yeah, the local library card. So how do you? Oh, you have an ID number. You just your local.
Yeah, it's a barcode. You know, the number underneath the barcode.
Right. Okay.
That's what gets you in, and it'll ask you before you actually try and use the reference USA from your desktop at home.
Yeah.
It'll actually ask you to input your library card number.
Okay.
So you know it's fantastic. So that is a really good resource. I know a few years ago. My local United Way, we were looking to connect with more women business owners in our county because of a local women's fundraising event we were doing. So I actually used Reference USA and mined it simply for our county. And then you can select by gender for the top executive. So I selected female and, you know, came up with a list, invited all these people to the event through a mailer that they sent out. And, you know, it did result in one or two new sponsorships actually for the event. So, you know, and I was doing that as a volunteer for the organization, but this is something really easy that any nonprofit organization can assign to even a high school student to be able to do for them.
What other resources might we find in our public library that we could ask about?
They will often be able to tell you about local business resources, business publications that are really geared toward your state. So if you're looking to connect with, you know, some certain associations, speaking of associations, they have a publication called the Encyclopedia of Associations.
Okay, which is not online?
It is online as well in some libraries. Mine doesn't have it available online.
Okay.
But in case your library doesn't, know that there is a hard copy format to this encyclopedia.
But so. I mean, just for the general public, you can't go. There's no Encyclopedia of Associations online that's free?
No, I think you have to go through a library portal, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I mean, the book exists, but I've never tried accessing it through you know, going to any website other than accessing it through a library.
See what a fan you are of public libraries?
Huge.
You think you go there first? Okay, all right. What about, isn't it LexisNexis? Would you find that at public libraries?
Typically not for free.
No,
well,
no.
If they're going to have it, they're going to probably require you to go on site to use it because it is a very expensive database.
Okay.
So some libraries might have it, but you have to go there in person to use it.
Okay. Let's see. What else? You got anything else local? We got just about like a minute or so before a break. Any other local free dirt cheap?
Well, I mean... You know, one of my favorites to mine is LinkedIn. So, but we probably want to dedicate a little more time to that again. But yeah, definitely, you know, it's the only social media network that can be mined. You can set up those advanced searches. Once that search is set, you can have LinkedIn just continually return those search results.
Okay. Why don't we take our break? And when we come back, we'll talk more about how underutilized Maria thinks LinkedIn is. Stay with us. And Tony Martinetti's making a mistake. I thought it was a later break. Don't go anywhere. You had to stay with us because I have to talk about Pursuant and how grateful I am that they renewed their sponsorship. I love it. Thank you so much for doing that. And really, just for that, I would ask you to check them out if you need to raise more money, just because they're loyal to Nonprofit Radio. They have tools that make your fundraising more efficient, better managed. They have a tool, Velocity, that will help you find new potential donors and the existing donors who are ripe for upgrade. So if somebody's giving you, you know, $1,000 a year, they can give you $5,000. Velocity can help you find them. If they're giving $5,000, maybe, you know, or $2,500, they could be giving $10,000. Velocity. One of the Pursuant fundraising tools, Pursuant.com, you'll raise more money. Now it's time for Tony's Take Two. And I want to say thank you. So here it is. Thank you. Whether you're listening live, podcast, or affiliate, whether you get the weekly show alerts, I just called Maria email. Here's email talking with me about Maria and... You know how valuable email is as a tool. I have weekly alerts. They go out every Thursday, tell you who the guests are. If you're getting those in your inbox, thank you so much. If you're subscribed on YouTube or you're with me on Twitter, I thank you. Connected on LinkedIn, thank you very much. Facebook fan, thank you. I thank you. If it's none of those, I don't know what the hell's wrong, because there's so many ways to connect with me. You ought to be taking advantage of one of them. So I would say, you know, if you're not, you're cheating yourself, really. I mean, yeah, you know, it's your life. Go ahead. It's your career. If you want to put it at risk by not being well informed through nonprofit radio, you know, you're going to suffer the consequences. All I can do is make it available to you. To quote Alec Baldwin in Glengarry Glen Ross, I have no sympathy for you. That's Tony's take two. Take it or leave it. Okay, Maria Semple, now we can continue talking about LinkedIn, which you, this is what first linked you to me years ago. It was at the Westchester County AFP, and you were on a panel with a few of our friends, Jerry Stengel and
Mark. Who else?
And Mark Halpert, talking about how underutilized LinkedIn is. And you were so good in it that I, not long after, invited you to be a contributor on Nonprofit Radio. So LinkedIn brought us together. Do you still think it's underutilized? This was like 4 years ago or so, 5 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, believe it or not, I still go around and I do talks and I still have people raising their hand saying, yeah, I'm kind of there. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. I mean, I'm there.
Really?
I don't really
people
look
still,
at
really?
It. Yeah, they still do. They still do.
Okay. What?
You know, and so, you know, nonprofits, you have to realize that LinkedIn actually has resources set aside for your sector. And so if you go to nonprofits.linkedin.com, you'll actually see the slew of resources that a for-profit like Tony or I would have to pay for.
Yeah.
And a nonprofit can have it for free. You know, they have the Board Connect. So if you're looking to augment your board this year, 2016.
Right. It's a tool made for meeting board members.
It is a tool board made Connect. For meeting for board members. Yeah. Right. And people will indicate that they are looking for board membership opportunities. So you can use that database to prospect for those people who have raised their hand and said, hey, I'm interested.
All right, where do you find Board? You'll find Board Connect at nonprofit.linkedin.com?
Yes, nonprofits, I think.
Nonprofit. LinkedIn. But you have to have a nonprofit account in order to use it, right?
Well, if you work for a nonprofit organization, you should be able to, and all, you know, all this, the steps and procedures on getting tied in with that is, it's all, you know, very clearly outlined there for you.
At that nonprofit.linkedin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. So that'd be sort of your starting point portal for all this great information. So, you know, that is something that's underutilized, and I think that nonprofits can take advantage of that.
What else? What else?
Looking for volunteer opportunities. You can post those as well. So there's a volunteer. We were talking on the last show about volunteer matching. So you can use that for that. If you have job positions that you want to post, you can use that there. So there's really a lot more that nonprofits could be doing with LinkedIn.
Even as a prospect research tool.
Oh, my goodness.
Right? Somebody's coming to your event. If you want to know more about them before they come or afterwards.
But
I know you're a big fan of pre-event
research.
We had a show on that back in November, I think, or early December.
Yeah.
Pre and post event research.
Right.
But just as a prospect research tool, having nothing to do with events.
Right, exactly. So when I'm sitting down doing prospect research, every time I'm given a name to research, that is definitely one of the places I look. Well, actually, even when I Google the person's name, if they have a profile on LinkedIn, it's coming up on page one of LinkedIn's of Google search results. So it's, you know, inevitably I am going to end up, whether I go directly or Google pushes me there, I'm going to LinkedIn to find information on somebody.
All right, so now you're getting insider tips. I mean, Maria is a prospect researcher. Her company is the Prospect Finder, for God's sake. You know, you're getting insider tips. You know, like I said, it's your life. If you're not paying attention to this, I have no sympathy for you. I don't know what else to say. All right. What else? LinkedIn. What else can we be doing?
So I think that, you know, one of the other things that you want to think about doing is leveraging your own internal databases.
All right, well, that sounds wonky. Grow. What does that mean? What does that mean?
So think about, again, going back to what we talked about on the last show, your tribe, right? Your board, other people who are close to your organization. You know, how can you use that to be able to magnify and grow? You know, what are you doing? What types of cultivation events? What types of gala events? You know, what are you doing to engage a larger community? Mm-hmm. And then also, what are you doing in the online world to engage and build your tribe as well, and some of those online ambassadors? Again, you know, hate to keep bringing in Giving Tuesday, but it was very popular in 2015. It surpassed the prior year. I would think that this is only going to continue to grow, just like we're we're seeing online shopping grow right. during the holidays. You have to be thinking now, what is your strategy going to be around Giving Tuesday? You know, what should we be doing? Maybe there are some online ambassadors in the LinkedIn space that we should be looking to recruit okay. and bring it onto our okay. tribe.
I was looking for you to circle this back to LinkedIn. I was getting impatient, but I was giving you time. I try not to jump on. You're digressing. Only I'm allowed to digress. I create the digression. All right, you linked it back to LinkedIn. That yes, yeah, so you find people who have a lot of juice on LinkedIn,
right.
who are close to you, or you'd like to be closer to.
Right, okay. right. And maybe there are people who are, I think, what do they call it? Self-professed lions, L-I-O-N-S.
Those, I don't know. What is that?
I think it a LinkedIn open networker. These are people who have, I don't know, thousands and I don't know, they're self-professed lions on LinkedIn.
Oh, so it's not.
So if you're connected to them, then you're only 2 degrees separated from a whole slew of
yeah.
other people.
Okay.
If you can get a lion to be.
But they're designating themselves. I'm
yeah,
a lion.
Yeah.
Just, like, what do you just put that in your
profile? Sometimes
in
I
your
see
profile,
it in their headline. Yeah. I see it in their headlines quite often.
Lion?
Yeah.
LinkedIn. What is it?
Open networker.
Well, everybody's a lion. But that's what LinkedIn is, open networking. Isn't
yeah.
it?
But some people are, you know, a little bit. I mean. It depends on how people use LinkedIn. Some people are a little bit more guarded with how many people that they let in. But LinkedIn open networkers, lions, they'll connect with anybody anywhere around the world.
They're whores. LinkedIn whores. Look at Maria's laughing. I mean, they'll do it with anybody. Well, that means that, isn't that what that is?
Well, I mean. That's,
right,
maybe
blushing.
That
she's
maybe
as red
that,
as her
may,
shirt.
Maybe
oh
that's
God.
What you wanted to call them, don't
she's
you?
As red as her shirt. I don't know. All right, watch out for the lions. I don't know.
Personally, okay. I don't like connecting to lions.
Yeah, because I mean, there's no connection. I mean, I'm pretty liberal about who I'll connect with.
Yeah,
but I mean, not just anybody. I mean, I have some standards. God's sake, my wife may be listening. I mean, I have some standards. All right.
Oh,
right.
My goodness. This show's going downhill
Maria,
real quick.
No, I think it's on its trajectory. This is the zenith. What are you talking about downhill? We're at the zenith. We're at the apogee. A to Z. We went to the apogee to the zenith. All right. You're as red as your shirt. All right. Let's move on. Have we beat up LinkedIn and told people multiple times you got to be doing more with it?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You have to leverage it.
Okay. What else? Well, we were starting talking about local. You know, you didn't mention Chamber of Commerce. You did back in December.
Right.
Chamber of Commerce. You're a big fan of Chambers of Commerce.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, that's certainly one way you can leverage your local presence. You know, sit down and talk to if you're a member of the chamber, certainly talk to the person who's in charge of member services.
Sometimes they have nonprofit membership categories, don't
yeah,
they?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they'll have special events and so forth, and talk to them about, you know, what you hope to do. And then also, you know, there might be opportunities to partner with the chamber so that, like I've seen in some communities where there'll be, like almost like a biz fest, but it's really just to showcase the local nonprofit organizations. So all the vendor tables are only nonprofits, you know, in the room. So that's really a great way to showcase, you know, the local organizations. So if that doesn't exist in your community, maybe you can help to spearhead that effort. And, you know, of course,
there you go. The association doesn't exist. Create it.
Right.
Create
absolutely.
The organization. Tell the chamber, you know, you're missing an opportunity.
Yeah.
We have 100 nonprofits in this town.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I kind of did that in my own chamber. I really pushed them to, you know, creating a separate nonprofit council within the chamber. And then, of course, when it came around to them saying, okay, well, somebody needs to chair that committee.
Well, you got to step up. Yeah.
So be
still,
careful what you ask for.
Are you still chair?
I co-chair it.
You brought somebody.
But I refused to co-chair. I refused to take it on alone. And not because I didn't want to do the work, but because I felt it was important that it had to be a somebody wearing a nonprofit hat, right? I wear a for-profit hat as a consultant.
Yes, okay,
I really felt that it was important that somebody wearing a nonprofit hat be seated at the table to spearhead the effort.
Okay. In other words, you pulled in another sucker.
Well, we looked around the table.
You found a rationale.
I said, I'll do it if somebody else will help me with this.
Talk about getting through the week without a good rationalization. There you go. that made a lot of sense. Okay. You have a chapter on technology.
Yeah.
What's the problem here?
So, you know, there just aren't enough hours in the day, Tony. So I needed to... for myself, I needed to find some tools. So I inserted in my book some of those tools that I'm using that I find are very helpful in terms of online apps or computer apps that will allow me to gain back a little bit of time. One of those tools that I've been using that I really like is called Asana. Have you
spell
heard
it?
Of that?
No, I don't know.
Asana.
Asana.
And so they have free version.
Asana is a yoga. Isn't that a yoga or is that a practice or something? Asana? No, sun worship.
I'm
no,
not sure.
That's Asana. No, okay.
I don't know.
All right, forget that. We can edit this part out. No, we don't do post production on the show. You're stuck. Okay, Asana, Asana. Well, tell me
right.
about it.
And so there's another one also called Basecamp. Okay, but the one that I'm using is Asana.
Does
and,
what? What does
and,
it do?
And
first
so
of all?
It enables you to keep a project moving along, right? So you have a project, you have who the collaborators are on that project, right? And so they could be people in your office, they could be board members, you know, whoever it is. And then everybody's assigned a task. And so the beautiful thing is that Asana, once everybody's been assigned a task, of course, that everybody in there has an email associated with it. Yeah. Asana will automatically send out an email saying, you have a task due today for XYZ
so
project.
It's a project management.
Yeah.
Collaborative project management.
Yeah.
Tool, Asana.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it free?
So there are. I'm using it for free.
Doyen of Dirt Cheap and Free.
but there are also, you know, depending on, I guess, enterprise level, you know, how many people have to use it, they have step up opportunities too.
So what project have you managed on Asana? Give me an example.
So as an example, I have. Speaking when I do my speaking engagements, I will have my virtual admin who's actually from my community, but she works, you know, doesn't work in my office. So I have her do some pre-calling and post-calling to my events, just as a friendly reminder. You registered. We're looking, you know, Maria's looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. So when I set up for every event that I set up, there are the repetitive tasks that happen with that event.
Yeah.
So there's the reminder to me to send her the list of the registrants. Then the reminder is sent to her automatically from the system on what day she's supposed to call people.
Cool. Okay.
So it's, and then you can park documents in there too. So when I want to send her the list of people, I don't have to do it just through email. I can upload it into the Asana dashboard so that she can go there and retrieve the spreadsheet of people who are registered for the event, as an example.
Okay.
So nonprofits could use that as well, right? So you have, you know, all kinds of events
well,
that nonprofits
run. It could
run.
Be an event, could be, I don't know, an office renovation. I mean, there's all kinds of potential projects.
Yeah.
The annual report has to get done.
Right.
You could have one for mailings, strategic,
right.
from your communication strategy plan,
right.
Communications plan. I mean,
right.
think
about just even Giving Tuesday, right? Right. You know what the date is going to be and start thinking out, okay, well, what do we need to start doing now? What do we do in February, March, April? What do we need to do monthly as we move toward Giving Tuesday? And then, of course, things will ramp up
yeah,
as
I can
it
tell
gets
you,
closer.
You're all about Giving Tuesday 10 months early.
Well,
you
want to think about it early.
I agree. All right. We just have a couple minutes left. And your closing chapter is about your tribe. We talked about the tribe back in December, but keeping your tribe engaged.
Keeping the tribe engaged,
yes.
Right. So you do need some sort of a tool, right? I mean, as a prospect researcher, having that CRM, customer relationship management tool in the nonprofit world, we really call it that donor management system. It's really vitally important to have all that information parked someplace because what we have to be able to do is understand, you know, how people are engaging with the nonprofit. And there has to be that that history, right? Because staff changes so much, you need to be able to have that history move from one staff member to
yes,
the next.
Yes, critical. You can't have somebody leave your organization and institutional knowledge
goes
out the door.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to keep this topic up. Let's go after this our last break, and we'll continue this convo.
Like what you're hearing on Nonprofit Radio? Tony's got more. On YouTube, you'll find clips from his stand-up comedy, TV spots, and exclusive interviews. Catch guests like Seth Godin, Craig Newmark, the founder of Craigslist, Mark Echo of Echo Enterprises, Charles Best from DonorsChoose.org, Aria Finger of DoSomething.org, and Naomi Levine from New York University's Hyman Center on Philanthropy. Tony tweets, too. He finds the best content from the most knowledgeable and interesting people in and around nonprofits to share on his stream. If you have valuable info, he wants to retweet you. During the show, you can join the conversation on Twitter using hashtag Nonprofit Radio. Twitter is an easy way to reach Tony. He's at Tony Martinetti, MARTIGNETTI. Remember, there's a G before the N. He hosts a podcast for the Chronicle of Philanthropy. Fundraising Fundamentals is a short, monthly show devoted to getting you over your fundraising hurdles. Just like Nonprofit Radio, Tony talks to leading thinkers, experts, and cool people with great ideas. As one fan said, Tony picks their brains and I don't have to leave my office. Fundraising Fundamentals was recently dubbed the most helpful nonprofit podcast you have ever heard. You can also join the conversation on Facebook, where you can ask questions before or after the show. The guests are there too. Get insider show alerts by email. Tony tells you who's on each week and always includes links so that you can contact guests directly. To sign up, visit the Facebook page or TonyMartinetti.com.
If you have big dreams and a small budget, tune in to Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. I do. I'm Adam Braun, founder of Pencils of Promise.
I can't send the authentic, the bona fide, the genuine live listener love because we are pre-recorded today. But of course, the love goes out, whatever city, state you're in. Podcast Pleasantries, same thing. That over 10,000 listening on whatever device, whatever. Who knows? Whatever. All the things I say. Whatever place, whatever you're doing, wherever you are. Thank you. Podcast Pleasantries out to the podcast listener. That's you. That's you right there listening right now. And affiliate affections are many AM and FM stations throughout the country. Affections out to those AM and FM listeners. Let your local station know that you listen, by the way. That would be cool. I'd love to get some feedback. But I know you're out there. Affiliate affections. Okay. More with Maria coming up. Here it is, right now. We're up. I don't know why I said coming up, because this is it. We're in it. We're in it right now. You're experiencing it live. Pre-recorded. Okay, keeping our people engaged. I mean, this tribe engagement, I mean, it's just, you know, you just want to be friendly. I mean, you just want to have conversations with people online like you do face-to-face. It's just keep up the relationship, right?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. But, you know, there's certain things that you want to think about. Maybe thinking about a calendar on a weekly basis, maybe, you know, you can schedule out some of the posts, use technology tools like Hootsuite to post some of that stuff.
Sure.
But maybe Monday is going to be, I don't know, your Motivation Monday or something like that. And then maybe Tuesday you'll post about, you know, an upcoming event that you're having in the way distant future. Maybe Wednesday is your day to do a fun fill-in-the-blank engagement thing with your audience. So, you know, if you have those sort of general things, all right, this is what we do on Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesday. Of course, you have to be able to, you know, when something happens, you need to be able to react to it and so forth. But if you at least have that, an engagement plan with your tribe.
You mentioned Motivation Monday. Watch the use of alliterations. That's pretty much proprietary to me on Nonprofit Radio.
Is it?
Watch it. Yeah, well, Podcast Pleasantries, Affiliate Affections, Live Listener Love. Haven't you noticed? Have you not noticed Tony's Take Two? Have you not noticed a pattern? How long have you been on this show? 4.5 years.
Is Motivational Monday yours?
Well, no, but it's an alliteration.
Oh, okay, sorry.
That's what I'm saying. Where have you been?
Well, no, I heard all of them. I thought you were claiming Motivational Monday.
No, no. That's lackluster at best. All right. If we want to choose a CRM, if we're reevaluating, now we've had entire shows on choosing the right database.
Right.
I've had guests on from a nonprofit technology conference, but you know, it's good to hit the highlights and hear all different voices. So your advice on choosing the right CRM.
You know, I mean, just generally, right? So you, like you said, you've had a bunch of guests on who really delve into it a lot. But, you know, just at a high level, you know, you want to think about, you know, how easy is it to learn the system? right? How many times I've talked to a nonprofit organization and they've said, yeah, we've got a donor database and, you know, we've had some staff turnover and we don't think people are really using it all that effectively. And, you know, certainly our board has no idea on how to use it. And so you want to make sure, you know, how user friendly is it? And is everybody up to snuff on their training? If you've got to spend the money to train some new people, then that's what you have to do. But it makes no sense to have a database that you know, it's that whole garbage in, garbage out, right? If people aren't using it properly, it's absolutely no use to the organization.
Yeah, because you can't get out of it what you need.
No, okay. Not. Also thinking about technical support. How is that handled? You know, is it email support? Is it phone support? Is it chat support? Is it all of the above?
Yeah.
So just understanding, you know, once you get past the sales process and the person that you're talking to that might be selling that system to you, what kind of support is going to exist after that?
Conversion support, that's always a big topic.
Yes.
How is our data going to get from whatever you're doing now into this new system that we're going to be spending a lot of money on, probably? So conversion support.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So,
okay.
You know, what's that conversion support going to look like? What format will it take? You know, is somebody going to be in the office with me? Is somebody going to be on the phone? You know, what format is that going to take?
Yep.
For some organizations, it's super important to know how customizable it is. Also, some people want to make sure that it integrates with outside systems. Like if they're using an outside system to run an email marketing program, you know, do the systems integrate so that, as an example, if somebody opts out of your email marketing list, is that opt-out going to be carried through and reflected in your donor database? Because otherwise, you're not going to be staying compliant with that canned spam law that we referred to.
Right.
So you want to make sure that if you are looking at a system, that it is going to be able to integrate and play, I like to say play nicely with other systems, mm-hmm. so that things integrate and opt-ins, opt-outs are all reflected across the board evenly.
Okay.
So, you know, things like that might be really important. The other thing that people talk about a lot is it cloud-based?
Right. Yeah, of course.
And if it is, you know, who has access to it? What are the passwords? How often are you changing the passwords? Who has access to those passwords?
Security generally.
Yeah, so just security generally around that CRM is really super important. You know, when we're talking about, you know, prospect research especially, and those CRMs and those donor management systems, they're going to hold the data. You know, when I do a profile for somebody, for an organization, and I deliver that profile, I'm delivering it in Microsoft Word format, actually, because the expectation is that they're going to copy and paste in, or at least somehow make this as an attachment to that constituent, that donor prospect's profile.
Yeah, their record in the CRM.
Yeah, and so it's got to be secure. I mean, the information that I'm pulling as a prospect researcher, I'm getting that in the public domain. But nevertheless, you want to be sensitive to the fact that you don't want this information just walking out of the office and floating around.
Yeah, it's still
there.
Personal. Even if it's public domain, it's also aggregated. And lots of individual bits of publicly available data, when pulled together in one document, have much greater value than all their little constituent pieces floating out that you had to spend the time to find.
Right, exactly.
So aggregated, it has a lot, could have a lot more bigger consequences if lost or compromised than scattered. You have some advice around using LinkedIn as a starter CRM.
Yeah, so it could definitely be used as a starter CRM. One of the interesting things is once you are first degree connected to somebody, you'll notice underneath that box that has their photo and their headline and all that, underneath that box is an area, there's a tab called, I think it's like relationship or something like that. So you can actually put in there some notes, you know, how I met Tony.
Oh, so you can sort of tag them?
Yeah,
Is it searchable? Because these notes are searchable?
Well, I'm not sure if they're searchable, though. That would be really great. Maybe that's coming down the line.
Okay, but
definitely
really
I can put notations in there.
Okay.
And it will also send me a reminder. So let's say you and I talk, and then for some reason we decide we need to talk again in a month about something. So I can set up a tickler reminder within LinkedIn, and LinkedIn will email me a reminder that, hey, I'm supposed to talk to Tony today.
Oh, wow. All right. Now, where is this? Tell us again.
So it's underneath, you know, the box that has your photo in it and all of that. And then so underneath that, there's a tab where you can fill out your contact information. And then there's another tab where your first degree connected to somebody, that's for you personally to see. So, you know, gosh, Tony, if you ever want to see what I have written up about you in my LinkedIn account.
No, thank you very much. No, I don't even want to hear it. I don't even want it alluded to obliquely. Not at all. No. Let's move to a different subject. No. Okay. But that's all right. So you can put notes.
Yes.
So
you can put notes. Yes.
Something
so,
of a contact
so
database.
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. So it's, you know, contact database light, if you will. But, you know, it's kind of useful if you just need even a little reminder sent to you about something.
Okay. We have about 30 seconds and then this wraps up our two show
extravaganza.
Yes. Of your book. So what do you want to leave people with?
You know, I just want to leave people with the notion that, you know, that in order to magnify their organizations, they've got to get themselves out there. They've got to get out there online. They've got to get out there networking. They've got to have good, solid websites. And they've got to be willing to get out there and shake hands and meet new people and really become part of the community.
We got to leave it there. The book, just get the thing for Pete's sake. It's on Amazon. Magnify Your Business, Tips, Tools, and Strategies for Growing Your Business or Your Nonprofit. You'll find Maria at theprospectfinder.com and also at Maria Semple on Twitter, of course. Thank you so much for being in the studio, two shows.
Thank you so much for having me, Tony. I appreciate it.
Absolute pleasure. Next week, Gerald Richards on leadership development and Amy Semple Ward returns, our social media contributor. If you missed any part of today's show, find it on tonymartinetti.com. Where in the world else would you go? I'm still not sure if we're going to keep that for all of 2016, but I'm not saying we're not. We're sponsored by Pursuant, online tools for small and mid-sized nonprofits, data-driven and technology-enabled, Pursuant.com. Our creative producer is Claire Meyerhoff. Sam Leibowitz is the line producer. Gavin Dahl is our AM and FM outreach director. The show's social media is by Dinah Russell. Our music is by Scott Stein. Be with me next week for Nonprofit Radio, big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Go out and be great.
What's not to love about Nonprofit Radio? Tony gets the best guests. Check this out from Seth Godin.
This is the first revolution since TV 1950 and Henry Ford 1920. It's the revolution of our lifetime.
Here's a smart, simple idea from Craigslist founder Craig Newmark.
Yeah, in sites or in presentation or anything, people don't really need the fancy stuff. They need something which is simple and fast.
When's the best time to post on Facebook? Facebook's Andrew Noyes knows.
At traffic is at an all-time high around 9 a.m. or 8 p.m. So that's when you should be posting your most meaningful posts.
Here's Aria Finger, COO of DoSomething.org.
Young people are not going to be involved in social change if it's boring and they don't see the impact of what they're doing. So you got to make it fun and applicable to these young people, because otherwise a 15 and 16-year-old, they have better things to do. They have Xbox, they have TV, they have their cell phones.
Ami Dar is the founder of Idealist.
It took 2 or 3 years for foundation staff to sort of deign to add an email address to their card. Yes. It was like, it was phone. This email thing is right. Weird. And plus, why should I give it away?
Charles Best founded DonorsChoose.org.
Somehow they've gotten in touch, kind of offline, as it were.
Yeah.
And they'll do exchanges of brownies and visits and physical gift.
Mark Echo is the founder and CEO of Echo Enterprises. You may be wearing his hoodies and shirts. Tony talked to him.
Yeah, you know, I'm a big believer that it's not what you make in life. It's you know, it's how you make people feel.
This is public radio host Majora Carter.
Innovation is in the power of understanding that you don't just, you know, you just put money on a situation and expect it to heal. You put money on a situation and invest it and expect it to grow.
And savvy advice for success from Eric Saperston.
What separates those who achieve from those who do not is in direct proportion to one's ability to ask others for help.
The smartest experts and leading thinkers are on Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%.